New York City transportation system has went through major upgrades. Traditional, unreliable street hailing methods are considered outdated and straight up tacky, while other more modern e-hailing methods are securing safer, well-maintained, professionally driven cars to riders via smartphone in a matter of seconds. One veteran driver has not only witnessed, overheard, and endured some of the most shocking and craziest moments in NYC. He's kept all these moments private and confidential until now. In this tell-all podcast, we'll fill you in on what happens when those car doors close and people think no one's around. The only thing is that we alter riders' identities for legal purposes. Other than that, everything is 100% true. Nothing is embellished and 100% raw. These are the confessions of a rideshare driver. It's finally here. The well-anticipated podcast milestone. The first episode of the highly requested, highly controversial Confessions of a Rideshare Driver. The first podcast devoted to answering the most asked question by NYC passengers to ride-sharing drivers, which is, what is the craziest ride-sharing story there is? Hosted by me, June Brown, that rideshare guru with the craziest stories in NYC. A five-star vet when it comes to this industry. I've been through it all and seen it all. Us drivers, at any given time, become metaphoric flies on the wall in NYC. We're in the middle of everything and never notice. We drive around CEOs, actors, actresses, entertainers, and those day-to-day passengers. And us good drivers who engage conversation with passengers at any given time became makeshift therapists and confessionals, and give great advice to hype people up before big shows and big business meetings, giving that last minute push for greatness. But passengers forget one thing. Drivers have ears too. We hear those private phone calls, those private arguments, and those conversations behind the scenes. And ooh, do we have some secrets. This brand new podcast is devoted to the weirdest, most craziest situations all you listeners want to hear about. And we're here to give it to you. The inside scoop. We were keeping it private until now. Now it's all access on this podcast. And the only rule that we have is we change clients' names around for legal purposes. But other than that, it's all in. We give it to you raw, just like it happened. And today, we have a great segment in store for you guys. We have a lot of secrets, a lot of confessions, and a lot of crazy stories. So with no more ado, here we go. Let's have it. Yeah, I'm wild, drizzly, tough, and the kid vicious. The three horsemen, we just need to sit vicious. Gun in the car. This ride started like every other ride. I was trying to drive around, trying to get a hit on my ride sharing app, and all of a sudden the app goes off. I was supposed to pick up this kid. I did. He was about 16, 17 years old, high energy, really, you know, mild-mannered kid, nothing out the ordinary. I'm driving, and driving him to his location now. I pick him up, and he's like, hey, his conversation happened to sway towards the cops are always messing with him, quote-unquote. And I go, yeah, welcome to New York. The cops are always messing with everyone. He laughs. And then right after we said that, not even 10 seconds later, we heard bloop, bloop, the cops behind. So I'm like, speak of the devil, there they go. And I'm trying to find a safe spot to pull over now. And I feel him right behind my neck. I can feel his breath on my neck. And he goes, bro, don't stop. And I go and laugh it off. I'm like, what do you mean, don't stop? It's the cops, we have to stop. And he goes, no, you don't understand. Don't stop. And I'm not even looking behind me. I'm totally trying to figure out a spot to pull the car over. And I, like, mind you, this kid is 16. So I'm mushing him in his face. Like, hey, bro, just sit back. Don't worry. I'll talk to the cops. They're probably, I don't know, they're shopping for whatever. And I mush him and I tell him, sit back. I got this. I'll speak to the cops. Not knowing the situation. So the cops end up walking up to the car. One cop came up to the driver's side and he's conversing with me. He's like, hey man, can I have your license registration? I give it to him. He goes, you ran a red light back there. So I go, no I didn't, officer. I have a camera to vouch for that. Would you like to see that sped up? Because I know you have a lot of things to do. Or would you like to see it slow motion like the Matrix? Cracking jokes. The cop starts laughing. He goes, ha, don't worry about it. You're a smart ass, huh? So I go, okay. So he goes, and you ate a stop sign as well back there. I go, that same camera can vouch for that as well. Would you like to see that sped up? Because I know you have tons of things to do. Or would you like to see it slow motion like the Matrix? He laughs again. He goes, you know what? Don't worry about it. So he's still sitting there with my license and registration in his hand, staring at me. And I'm like, so this is not the ideal thing I would like to do. Since you stopped me, what's going on? He goes, and right when he goes, two other officers snuck up beside the car, opened the back door simultaneously, and ripped this kid out the car by his legs. So this kid is screaming on the top of his lungs, ah, get off of me. And I'm now at this point, I'm just thinking this kid must have some type of PTSD, and this is the worst thing for him because the cops are pulling on him, and he just finished telling me how he doesn't like the cops, the situations. So I go, get off of him. What's wrong with you guys? They happen to go, so do you know this kid? I'm like, no, he's a passenger in my car. They say, show me. I show them the app. And they go, well, so you don't know this kid from a hole in the wall, huh? And I go, no, officer, that's what I'm telling you. But I don't think that is right that you're roughing him up. I got the traffic infraction. Tell me, talk to me. Don't touch my passenger. He goes, yeah? Look at the back seat. And I go, look at the back seat. He goes, yeah. I glance at the back seat slowly, and there's a loaded gun sitting there on my back seat. I totally froze up. Took me about a couple minutes to really regain my composure and where I was. And the cop goes, you know what? Don't worry about it. We were following him. We know that you had nothing to do with it. You can go home. I'm driving five. I'm like, thank you, officer. Thank you so much. I'm driving 5 minutes away from the situation. And I happen to start thinking. I'm like, wait, hold up. So you guys knew he had a gun. You allowed him to get in my car. And literally, you were playing chess with my life. I could have honestly be killed at any time. He could have said, don't stop the car. And since I wasn't cooperating, he would have shot me. I'm like, what did the cops think this was? Like, Grand Theft Auto? Oh, leave the perp to let's see if he might kill the driver of the car. So we could give him some more, jail time. Like, I felt at that point in time that my life was expendable. For about a couple months after that, I was pretty shaken up and getting passengers in the back of my car. I was a lot more aware and kept my eye on them a bit. And that's a gun in the car. Grandma Polly's sex cult. Well, this story starts off as, like, every night I'm searching for a passenger, and I get a hit on a ride-sharing app. The app says to go pick up a elderly lady from near Yankee Stadium. So I go to head to go pick her up. I usually start every ride by saying, "Hello, how are you?" It's the smallest thing, but I believe, like, in New York, we're so busy in the hustle and bustle of things and worrying about situations that we can't control that we forget to think about other people. So by just asking somebody how their day is going or how are they, sometimes the littlest statement can save a life or just in general make someone feel good, like someone cares. Anyway, so I pull up to Grandma Polly's house and she's getting in my car, and I turn my head to introduce and say, "Hey, how are you? How's your day?" And before I can even get a word out, Grandma Polly has her hands in my face and saying, "If you don't have jazz, turn off the radio." And the radio wasn't even on. And I'm like, okay, yeah. So I'm still trying to be in control of the situation. I go, "Okay, we got off in a bad start, ma'am. How are you? How's your day?" And then she goes, "My day was fine. Jazz, please." So I end up saying, okay, still being very respectful of my elders and me being a mild-mannered person as well. I go, "Okay, ma'am, I'm eclectic. I love all music. I wouldn't mind listening to the jazz with you. So how about this compromise? You find a jazz station, possibly on your phone, and I'll put it on, and we can listen to it together. How's that?" She goes, "Okay." All right. Maybe 30 seconds later, she scrummaged through her phone and she finds the jazz station. She goes, 90 something plus something point something. I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I put it on, and I should have known how weird this ride was going to be from her initial ingestion of how she ingested the jazz when it turned on. As soon as I turned it on, she goes, "Oh, yes, that's good jazz." And I'm like, okay, did my grandma just have an orgasm? But I still didn't judge her. At the end of the day, people love music in all different types of ways. I'm like, you know what? She must love music a lot. She must love jazz a lot. So I still didn't judge her. It gets eerily quiet inside the car again, and she's just listening to the jazz. And she goes, "My 9 loved ones, I just came from seeing my 9 loved ones." I go, "Oh, okay, so you had some family over." Thinking grandma, grandkids, you know, stereotype. So I go, "Oh, you have family over." She goes, "No, my 9 lovers." That blew my mind. At this point, I'm like, huh? I'm shocked for words. I'm like, excuse me? She goes, "Yeah. You see that brownstone building you just picked me up from? Me and my 9 lovers live in there." I'm like, wow. She's like, "I'm polyamorous." I'm like, "What is that?" She goes, "I love people freely. You don't know how liberating it feels to love whoever you want. We go from room to room having sex with whoever we want." At this point in time, I'm throwing up in my mouth. My brain is exploded. I'm like shocked. I'm like, oh my God. And she's going into explicit details telling me about her sexual escapades. And I go, okay, you know what? In my head, I'm like, you know what? You have to change this topic. My family always tell me, oh, You're a pushover. You let people step all over you. So in my head, I'm giving myself the speech. I'm like, you don't have to speak about this topic at all. This is your car. You don't have to speak about it. Change the topic. I'm giving myself the rev up speech to not talk about this. So I go, I'm trying to look around for something to talk about other than her sexual appetite. And I go, oh, okay, so she's going to Penn Station. Maybe I can get her to talk about that. Oh, so you're going to Penn Station? Going on a mini vacation? She goes, eh, not really. Me and my, I gotta go check on my folks. You know, check on the old folks. In my head, I'm like, you are the old folks, but who judging? Then she goes into, yeah, you gotta check on them. Maybe they might fall. So I go check on them from time to time, make sure they're okay. I go, oh, you sound like a really nice daughter. Goes, takes left again. So she goes, yeah, but by the time we get there, it's gonna be late. Just enough time to give them a nice sponge bath and get all in their nooks and crannies. I'm like, oh my god, I threw up in my mouth again. I'm like, oh, what the hell? At this point in time, I'm stepping on the gas as much as I can to get to Penn Station. I get there, and I literally get in front. I'm like, okay, have a great night. She says her goodbyes, and then she walks away. A couple seconds later, while I'm still finishing up the app, because I'm still sitting there, and she comes back in the car. I'm like, oh, so did you forget something? She goes, oh, yeah, I just forgot to tell you. You can stop by whenever you want. I always remember a face. I'm like, I'm trying to be nice. Yeah, I'm always working, so I don't think I can make it. She's like, anytime you want. And that's Grandma Polly's sex goal. This one is called Son of the Devil. So I get a bell on my app summoning me to go and pick up someone. So I head in that direction. I get in front of the residence and I realize there's a man lying in a very awkward position over some bushes. I sat there for a while and I waited for the countdown timer to finish, and I tried calling to no avail. Nobody picked up. And then I tried honking the horn. When I honked the horn, the guy got startled, woke up, and started stumbling towards the car. At this point, I realized he had way more than legal limit to drink, and he was totally drunk. He finally stumbles towards the car. My initial thoughts was to cancel this ride because I had a gut feeling that this wasn't going to end too well. It was either going to end in this guy throwing up in the back of the car, or him being belligerent and just a total jerk. But I thought that I would pay forward and drive this guy home. There were times that I had one too many to drink, and there were cab drivers to drive me home. So I thought to myself, you know, they cab drivers did it for me, so I'm going to pay it forward and do it for this guy and get him home safe. So I, as this guy gets in the car, I ask him. I realize that on the app he doesn't have an N address, so I start trying to ask him where the N address would be. I'm curious, and we can't move until he gives me an N address. And he goes, take me to Chicanitos. And I go, what is that, sir? Is that a cross street? Is that a residence? What is that? Could you enter the address into the app and it would upload it to me, which would then tell me where to go? He goes, take me to Chicanitos. We go back and forth for about 5 minutes. And then I kind of got a little irate and said, sir, if you can't give me an address, you would have to leave this car. He then goes, Google it. I asked him to spell it. He spelled out the word Chicanitos, and I realized that it was a bar. It was an actual real place, and we headed in that direction. From there, as we got onto the highway, he started making some noises as if in pain, or he was just not feeling too well. So I asked him if he needed a throw a bag, and he proceeded to say, let me out the car now. So I said, sir, we're on the highway. I'll let you out on the nearest exit. I can't let you out on this highway. And he goes, let me out. And he opens the door while we're in drive. At this point, other cars start swerving and hitting the horn, and people are like yelling, and because this guy can actually damage the car or maybe even damage a person. I start telling this guy, relax, calm down, and don't do that because he could actually hurt someone. He then begins to get a little bit more irate and raise his voice. And then I'm trying to still continue to drive in the straight line and on the speed limit, because I'm on the highway. And this guy, I turn around and tell him, relax. I will get him to the nearest exit and let him out. And he turns to me, when I turn back and we make eye contact, and he goes, yo soy de hijo de diablo, which simply means I am the son of the devil. At this point, I was not playing with this guy no longer. I said, you know what? I'm going to comply with your order, sir. I do not play when it comes to those situations. And I pulled over to the side of the road, the shoulder of the road. Cars were honking and, you know, still, I let him out. And he just sat down there in the middle of the shoulder of the highway. And I asked him if he was okay, and he said, go. So I actually pulled off, and I started to drive, and I drove away. Later on that evening, as I continued to drive, I received an alert which said that person who I let on the side of the highway made a false claim saying that I assaulted him and put him on the highway. And I explained the situation. I also have a camera inside the car. I uploaded that camera footage to my ride sharing provider, and they realized that he was lying, and they canceled his app. So yeah, that's son of the devil. This one is called Book Buys Cover. So the app goes off and it sends me to pick up this young woman from a shopping center. So I head over there and I'm sitting in front of the shopping center waiting for her. All of a sudden, she walks in, she says her name, she sits down, and I immediately hear her start conversating on the phone. She has a very soft-spoken, calm, relaxing voice, and she's basically whispering, but she's right behind me in the vehicle, so I can hear her. And she happens to have her phone on speakerphone, which isn't weird. People do it all the time, so it's whatever. And she's talking to her boyfriend. She goes on to say, hey babe, you know, I just finished going to the store and doing some shopping, and I'm on my way home. Well, what time are you coming home? And this guy's on speaker, and he's like, don't ask me any effing questions. What's your problem? Like, stop calling me right now. Like, I'm at work. And he's like, I just wanted to know so, you know, I can make sure your dinner is ready. And he's like, get off the phone. Like, stop calling me. You know I'm busy. Leave me alone. And she's like, okay, I just wanted to say, you know, I love you and have a great day. And I can't wait to see you. And he's like, yeah, you whatever, man. Just I'll talk to you later. So he hangs up the phone. So in my head, I'm totally giving this guy a piece of my mind in my, you know, in my head. I'm like, this guy's a piece of crap. Why is he talking to her like that? He's actually like being so mean to her, and she's being sweet, soft-spoken, and just saying all these nice things. Like, what's wrong with her? I mean, what's wrong with him, you know? And not even 10 seconds later, she gets on the phone. She starts dialing numbers. She doesn't have this conversation on speakerphone. She's behind me, and she goes, the phone's ringing, of course. You can hear it in the car. And her voice changes. She's totally a different person in a sense. Like, her demeanor, her tone, the bass in her voice change, and she goes on to go, hey, yeah, so he's at work. Yeah. Uh-huh. Gets off at 12. So you can come over now. Like, come over as quick as possible. You know it doesn't take me long to come. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, this conversation, what the hell? She's like, you have your little brother, too? Just bring him along. Just sit him in front of my TV. You know, I come and I squirt really quick, so you can just do it really quick. Yeah. He wouldn't even know. It's going to be, I'm going to have the driver drive me in front of your house. Hurry up, you know? You know I want it. And he gets off at 12, so we maybe have enough time to do, like, a double round. All right. See you soon. Hurry up. Get dressed. And in my head, I'm livid. I am going off. I'm like, damn, she's a completely different person to her boyfriend. And who knows the real reason why he's like that. She probably cheated on him, and me judging a book by its cover was not the best thing. Like, I totally thought I had it all figured out, and that she, like, he was a piece of crap, but she was equally of evil intent. Like, that was crazy. And being a driver, I had to learn how to totally take my feelings out of it and just drive people. Don't worry about how I feel about them or what I'm overhearing. My job is to drive them from point A to point B. And that's the book by its cover. This is called 007 Drunk. This ride started and it spilled over from Grandma Polly's story. I had just finished dropping off Grandma Polly. I was probably still a little bit confused and in a daze about all the events that happened from her story. And the ride sharing app goes off. It sends me around the corner from her destination. And it was, the location was a bar. So I head to the bar and I'm sitting there in front, waiting for the passenger, and the first thing I realize is that this passenger starts walking straight towards me from the bar, kind of stumbles. He's a little bit, you know, inebriated, drunk, and, you know, which is fine. Second thing I realize is this guy's a dapper dresser. He has a bow tie, three-piece suit, it's all plaid. He's carrying a briefcase. And then the third thing I realize is when he enters the vehicle, he smells like somebody hit him over the head with a bottle of scotch. This guy smelled like he used rum as an aftershave. He reeked of alcoholic beverages. This guy was like, his name was Booze Entertainment. I can't stress it enough of how much this guy smelled like alcohol. But who am I to judge? Everybody's have those nights. And then the next thing I realized is that this guy was from the UK. And he started off his conversation like this. He started by saying, "Hey, hello, how are you? My name is blank. And, yeah, do you mind turning off the jazz, please? I have to call my wife." I'm like, oh. So I start chuckling a little bit in my head because I totally forgot that Grandma Polly's jazz is still on. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Right, so let me turn that down for you and you can go ahead and do your thing with your wife. Sure. So this guy in his conversations goes like this. I'm not basically trying to listen to him, but there's only so much you can mask up and not hear when there's no music in the car. It's a confined space and he's speaking in a real British accent. He goes, "Hello, honey. I'm on my way home. I'm in the ride. And yeah, I'm just leaving work. Yeah." And this woman must know him. Women are so intelligent. She must know him like the back of her hand. And she goes, "Yeah, I was not drinking. I'm just leaving my job." "No. Oh, I swear to the baby." And that totally caught me by surprise. He's like swearing to the baby that he was not drinking and he was in his job. So I'm like, how are you gonna, one, how are you gonna mask the smell of the scotch on your breath and body? And two, damn, to the baby, bro? You're gonna swear to the baby? You are a cold-blooded swearer. Like, they should take away all your swearing privileges because of that. But hey, who am I to judge? And then he goes on to say, "No, I swear to the baby. I swear to my mom I was not drinking. I did not have one drink. I'm on my way from the office. Yes." And I probably, after he swears to his mom, I totally turned me listening off. I'm like, this guy is a hardcore liar. I cannot even listen to him anymore. And I probably tuned him off because he was swearing to like his mom and his kid. And I totally knew he was lying. And on top of that, I was probably still trying to figure out the whole Grandma Polly situation. I was like, wow, that was a crazy one. And I tune him off. And for about 5 to 10 minutes, I hear him in the back there talking to his wife. And I'm driving and I tune right back into him when he starts screaming and cursing his wife out on the top of his lungs. Like, "You piece of all the profanic words in the left side of the dictionary, this guy is hitting his wife with, calling her all time types of bees and types of hoes. And I was just like totally startled. That caught me by, he came and from left field with that one. And I'm like, hey, what the hell? I totally tuned back in of like, this guy's going ballistic in the back of the car. And he's screaming on the top of his lungs, cursing at his wife. Then he hangs up the phone on her and he starts to cry. And a weeping, wailing cry at that. Like, I don't know if Maybe that's how they do it in the UK. Who knows? But, you know, here, when a guy's in front of another guy, he usually tries to tone the cry down because he's trying to, you know, hold on to his manhood. But this guy was totally weeping and, like, a belly full cry. Like, this guy was... snot was popping in his nose as this guy was crying. He was going off the deep end. And he's like, and I'm like, you know what? You know, most men, it's like a unwritten man code. We give a guy, another guy gives another guy, you know, a grace period to, like, get yourself together. I'll give you, you know, some getting together space. Go ahead and, you know, do your thing. So I didn't want to basically ask this guy a question that I knew the answer to, but whatever. I allowed him to weep for, like, you know, good 2-3 minutes. And this 2-3 minutes started rolling over to 5, over to 10. And I'm like, you know what? This is going on for way too long. So I finally... ask this guy, hey, are you okay, bro? Like, get it together here. Like, and he goes, yeah, bro, you don't understand. And I'm like, so help me understand. I glanced down at the ride ETA, which is the time to me driving to the house, and it was, you know, good timing, still left like 20 minutes. So I'm like, all right, hey, help me understand. What's going on? He goes, you know, me and my wife were two successful business persons. And she got pregnant. We got her pregnant. And we decided it would be a good idea for her to stop working and be a mom and take care of the kid until the baby's old enough to go to daycare. Which is about 4 or 5 years old. So this was our plan. And it went totally left field with this. And every day after work, because I'm footing all the bills and dealing with all the financial stress, I go through a lot of shit. And all I ask is after work to unwind before I go home. I would like to go to the bar to unwind, get a drink, relax, and, you know, calm down. At home in the UK, I don't have a family or my support system here. I'm here in shitty, lonely New York. I'm like, hey, I'm a New Yorker, watch your mouth. I don't give a shit about you crying. It's about you disrespecting the, you know, the city, bro. Like, watch it. He's like, oh. Sorry, I totally forgot that, but what I mean is I'm here alone in a brand new country, in a brand new city, and I'm still trying to hold on to the things that make me happy. And unwinding in the bar after work is things that make me happy, you know? And my wife doesn't get it. She doesn't bloody get it. I'm like... All right, bro, can I give you some advice? Do you mind? And he goes, okay, go ahead, shoot. At this point, I have to become Dr. Phil or something. I'm like, okay, have you ever thought about it from your wife's perspective? He goes, what do you mean? I'm like, your wife is at home all day with the baby. She's probably cooking, changing diapers, dealing with the baby's mess, and trying to educate your baby. Did you ever think about her? She's at home all day, waiting for you to come home, to craving an adult conversation. And by you going to the bar to escape your stress, you're basically... denying her the fact of adult conversation and adult connection. Yes, a baby is another living being, but her better half, which is you, her husband, is not only not rushing home to relieve her of her duties and relieve her of her mental stress, you're literally sitting there and you're venting and unwinding with a total stranger, the barmaid and a bartender. She's waiting for you to come home and you're delaying that going to the bar to drink. Have you ever thought about that? He's like, you know what? I never thought about it like that. I'm like, can I give you some more advice and some answers to this situation? He's like, okay, you've been right so far. Go ahead. I mean, my mom and my dad has went through something similar to this. And my dad went with the compromising answers to this question. My mom would give him hell and argue about him going to the bar after work. So what he would do was compromise. Instead of going to the bar, he substituted that with bringing a bottle of wine home. And you know what the bottle of wine did? It brought them closer. He would literally, whenever he wanted to drink, he brought the bottle of wine home. And him and my mom would drink the wine together, reflect about the day's stress and situations together. And it brought them closer together. My dad got the compromise of getting that alcoholic beverage, and my mom got the compromise of getting him from the bar and home early. And what that did was, instead of speaking to random people, he spoke to my mom, which was his better half, and they would come up with answers to his stress, and him venting was to the right person, my mom, you know? So, why don't you give that a thought? And he goes on, you know what? I never thought about it like that, mate. You're great at this. You're a great driver. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a big tip. I'm like, hey, bro, you know what? Don't worry about it. You don't have to. Like, it's all in a day's work. I just want to make sure that you're good. He's like, how does $24 sound? I'm like, you know what? That sounds pretty good, but you don't have to. He's like, I feel very much happy giving you this tip. So I'm like, all right, fine. He's like, but can you do me one favor? Do you mind stopping at a Rite Aid? I'm like, for Rite Aid? For what? He goes, so I could stop and try to get a bottle of wine so I could start this compromise situation. I'm like, hey, I think you need to start the compromise with an apology to your wife first. You kind of blindsided her with all those curses. And he's like, yeah, you're right. But, you know, let me stop to get this wine. Do you mind? So I'm like, we don't usually do this, but I'll make a pit stop for you. Made the pit stop. He went in the Rite Aid. There was no wine, but he came back out. He's like, okay. I drove him straight home, and he was highly appreciative, and he goes, you know, bud, thank you for driving me home. Thank you for the advice. I think you may have saved my marriage, and I am putting that tip right now for you. And I'm here to tell you guys, I'm still waiting for that tip right now. I should have known this guy was a habitual liar. He was swearing about his mom and his baby. I should have never took his word. Hey, whatever. If this guy's out there listening, still waiting for my tip, buddy. So, that's the story of 007 Drunk. It's a wrap. The first podcast of Confessions of a Rideshare Driver is finally complete. I'd like to just thank everyone for your support and listening in. Remind you that it's a fully interactive podcast, meaning that you can call in, voice your opinions, your suggestions, and comments. Also, remind you that you can list suggestions for new up-and-coming shows. And in future shows, there will be chances to win cash prizes and rides by me anywhere in the tri-state area. There will some of the up-and-coming segments, just to name a few, are Stacy's gay husband, getting smacked by iPhone 10, women getting stuck in my car, and ride-sharing etiquette, just to name a few. It is a can't-miss episode. Other than that, see you next time. Peace. Every other night another movie get made. Every other night another dollar get made.